No matter where you are in your life right now, God can change you if you are willing. You don't have to change yourself. You just have to be willing to lay it all on Jesus' shoulders.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic title of this edition is Jesus First.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
What does it take for a person to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ? A true disciple of Jesus Christ is a person who devotes their entire life to Jesus Christ. But that's easier said than done. The three characteristics of people are self, family, and possessions, and usually in that order. And anyone who places these things before God and His Son Jesus can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is clearly defined in the words of Christ Himself. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." In Luke 10, verse 27, He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Love for oneself is innate and is the primary concern of an unbeliever. And that's why in Luke 14:26, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple." Now, why is Jesus saying that? Is God asking you to hate your parents, hate your mother, hate your father, hate your wife? No. But what He is saying is that if any of those people get in the way of following Him, following Jesus, if any one of those people get in the way, you must ignore what they are attempting to do, you must overcome what they are attempting to do, and yes, you must even part with those people if their presence in your life is a hindrance to you following God. Clearly put, there are people out there who have given themselves over to Jesus Christ, and their family members, their friends, their loved ones reject the idea of Jesus, and they become a hindrance in that person's life. In some cases, you have to part yourself from those people. You know, following Jesus Christ can lead you into a conflict with other people, even people you love dearly. If you've decided to give your life over to Jesus and your family members have not, there could be problems in your household. Now, when I say part ways with these people, I don't mean a physical parting, but in a spiritual way, you will be separated from these people until they come around and they decide that they want to follow Jesus Christ and give their lives over to God. Simply put, following Jesus in a world filled with sin is not going to be an easy task, and you will need God's help in order to do it. You will need the Holy Spirit. And you know something? God is waiting right now for anyone listening to this message to step up and go to a new level in a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's not just for unbelievers, but that's for the people out there who are listening who have already committed their lives to Jesus. God is waiting for you as well to step up to a new level in trust and in devotion to His work that He has for you to do on this planet. In Luke 14:33, we read, In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. So, Jesus is clearly asking that if there is something in your life that you put higher than your love for him, you must give it up in your heart and make him first. Now, I want to stress for just a moment here that following Jesus isn't about giving everything up you care about. God wants you to keep the things that you care about. He just wants to make sure that you have them in your heart in the proper order, Jesus being first. And once you put Jesus in your heart first, everything else that you care about, everything else that you love and need in your life and want will be put in proper order because you put Jesus first. Jesus is at the top of the pyramid of the love scheme in your life. But you know, it's not all about giving up things to follow Jesus. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" You see, it's not just about giving up things that might hinder you. It's not just about denying yourself. It's also about obedience. I talk to people all the time who come to me and tell me horrible things are happening in their lives. But then when they tell me about the sins that they've committed, I can look back and clearly see how their wrongdoing, how their disobedience in Jesus Christ got them there. You know, the reason why God has a set of rules to live by is because those rules are the best way to live. If you fall out of the way that God wants you to live, then you are going to fall into sin, and sin has a price to pay. So following Jesus is not only about sacrifice, it's not only about denial, it's also about obedience. And you can't be obedient to God's word without the grace that God promises. See, Jesus didn't conceal from anyone that was wanting to follow him what the grace of God would accomplish in a believer. He did not promise eternal life, which resides dormant in the human heart. He offered God's grace, which brings a complete change by putting Christ's new life into a person. And then the old nature of that person is to be put off. See, once Jesus is born inside of you, once you accept the Holy Spirit and that Spirit is born within you and starts to live, the old person is killed off and is dead. But that old person wants to resurrect itself and show its ugly head whenever it can. That old person is the residue of sin. In Colossians 3:9, we read, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." This putting off of the old man is equivalent to believing on the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and acknowledging to oneself that sin is wrong. It takes God's grace to do this. It takes the holy word of God to know what sin is. You know, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not attending church, if you are not fellowshipping with other Christians, you are not growing with God. And as you do go to church and you fellowship with believers and you read God's word and you talk to God on a daily basis through prayer, you will start to see the sin that is still dwelling in your life. And by talking to God about that sin, the Holy Spirit can work on you and get that sin out of you. It doesn't happen overnight. But I am a strong believer that the first step in following Jesus Christ, the first step of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, is to admit to God first that you have a problem. See, you can't come to God once you're clean because you can't get clean without God's help. Only Jesus Christ can take away your sin. That's the only way you can come to God clean. Nothing you can do will ever get you clean enough to stand next to God. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Christ comes to dwell within us. Our old self, our old nature, it no longer has an uncontested control, but it is not eliminated. Paul had this struggle between the victorious nature of Christ within him and the sin that still dwelt in him. This is why he said in Romans 7:17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Now, with all that said, there are still some people out there who are unwilling to give up things for Jesus. You know, when an unbeliever understands exactly what it is that's going to take place once salvation happens into their life, they might just be honest enough to reject it. Now, when I say honest enough, I mean honest enough to themselves. In other words, they know exactly what God is offering them, but they still refuse to take it. God is offering a free gift to the unbeliever. But there are people out there who fully understand what God is offering them, but yet they don't want to give up the things of this world in order to get it. And a good example of this is the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Matthew 19:16-22. Now a man came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now understand that not everybody that comes to God has to give away all of their worldly possessions. Rich people don't have to give up everything they have and give to the poor in order to follow Jesus. That is not a status quo, but it was what was necessary in this man's particular situation. See, this man put his riches before Jesus, and Jesus knew what was in his heart. Jesus knew that this man's possessions would withhold him from a successful, victorious discipleship with himself. In other words, Jesus knew what was in his heart, and he saw these possessions as a problem. And Jesus was answering the man honestly. If you want to follow me, if you want eternal life, if you want the grace of God, you're going to have to get rid of the things in your life that are a hindrance. Jesus will show you the things in your life that you need to give up in order to follow him. He did this for me, and it had nothing to do with money. There was other things in my life that I had to give up. Now, again, Jesus understands what the roadblocks are in our lives, and he will point those things out. But God won't always take them away from you. In this case, we see that the man, he left Jesus and he was sad. How many people in the Gospels have you read about that left the presence of Jesus? And I'm talking about the people who were seeking him. I'm not talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm talking about the people who were seeking Jesus. How many of them do you know that walked away from Jesus sad? You know why this man walked away from Jesus? Because he refused the gift of eternal life. This man retained his riches materially, but he left spiritually poor. What do you have in your life right now that you're placing above your discipleship with Jesus Christ? Is that thing worth your relationship with Jesus? Are you hanging on to something that you believe you want or need or feel that you enjoy more than the presence of God in your life? More than the victory that you could have spiritually by giving that up and accepting Jesus Christ's way in your life? You know, one of the things I like about this scripture is that Jesus let the man walk away. He didn't grab a hold of the man and say, "Give me what I'm asking for." You know, God is a gentleman. God doesn't want anybody coming to him forcefully. God is inviting us to come join him through his son, Jesus Christ, in a relationship. He's not forcing anyone. That's not love. You know, the same Christ who told this young man in Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." That same Jesus also said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And in Matthew 16:26, Jesus says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" So you see, with these three scriptures by themselves, you can actually take the things in your life and weigh them against the relationship that you want with God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to meditate on these three scriptures. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. In Matthew 19:21, he asks us to give up the things that are hindering our discipleship with him. Yet in Matthew 6:33, he promises that by doing so, all these things will be given to us. And in Matthew 16:26, he warns us that if we don't give these things up, we're going to be left with worldly things. And on the day of judgment, when we have to face God, if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the forgiveness for our sins, what will we have to offer God in exchange for our soul? Well, the answer without Jesus Christ is nothing. Now, when we follow Jesus, we are going to know exactly what we want and exactly what we need. What Christ impresses us with is that with Jesus Christ first in our hearts and lives, we are always winners. When Jesus Christ is first, we fully enjoy ourselves, our families, and our possessions, because then our life is subject to his command and direction. And believe me, with Jesus leading the way, you will not go wrong. You won't take a wrong path as long as Jesus is in front of you. Now, understand that following Jesus also means bearing a cross. And Jesus did not hide this from anybody, that there was going to be a cross to bear. Now, some people think that because Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 24, where we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'Never, Lord,' he said, 'this shall never happen to you.' And Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" You know, that scripture has given some people the wrong impression that the call to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus was only addressed to his believers at the time. But you know, when we read Mark chapter 8:34, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We see that he was not only speaking to his disciples, but he called the crowd to him along with them. So this pertains to you and I right now. See, there is a cross to bear. And you know, Jesus was rebuking Peter. See, Jesus knew what he had to remove in front of him in order to fulfill what God had for him and his life. And Peter at that moment in time was a stumbling block. And Jesus removed it by rebuking Peter and putting him in his place. You know, the words, "get behind me," literally means in our language today, get out of the way. And, you know, Peter was Jesus's friend, a dear friend and a disciple. Yet, just because we are following Jesus in our minds doesn't always mean that we're following him in our hearts. Because, see, Jesus loved the Father perfectly. And Peter wasn't at that level yet. And Peter was thinking of himself. I mean, come on, think about this now. Peter had been hanging around Jesus for quite a while. And Peter didn't want to see Jesus die. And I honestly believe that Peter had some selfish motivation in that. I mean, come on, he'd been walking around with Jesus for nearly 3 years and watching Jesus do miracles. And you can't tell me that it wasn't going to Peter's head being associated with the Messiah. So Peter had some stake in keeping Jesus alive. Now, getting back to how Jesus calls everyone to discipleship, we also see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, I look at the words "daily" in this scripture and I think about my own walk with God. And you know, you just can't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm a disciple of Christ and everything is perfect. Because you know what, it doesn't work that way. It is a daily walk with God. And you do that through reading his word daily, praying to him daily, fellowshipping daily, and of course, submission through obedience. If you're someone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you think that it's just for an elite group of people, people who were just born to be Christians, I want to tell you right now that there's a scripture out there in John chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Did you know that Jesus said that at a time when the world was still living in sin? Sin that was unforgiven by God? The reason why it was unforgiven by God at the time that Jesus said this is because Jesus had not yet died for the sins of the world. So Jesus was addressing this to the entire world. And at that time, the entire world was unsaved. So if you are an unsaved individual right now who has not accepted Jesus Christ, understand that God is inviting you as well as the believers to be his disciple. And it's easy. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to join some club. You just simply say to God, "I am a sinner, and I want to turn from my sins with your help. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for my sins. And I thank you, God, for the free gift of Jesus. For I know that through his sacrifice, I am forgiven and that the price is paid." If you come to God and you ask him to save you through his son, Jesus Christ, it is done. He's not going to say maybe. He's not going to say if you do this, if you do that. If you truly mean it from the heart, when you ask him to forgive you, if you truly have repentance for your sins, when you ask him, he will look into your heart and he will bring you to salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Once you do that, Jesus will come to live in your heart. Your life won't be perfect. There will still be sins that will creep up in your life. But as you come closer to God through His Word, through prayer, and through fellowship, God will work those sins out of your life. And you know something? God can take the sinner and make them a winner. That's right. No matter where you are in your life right now, God can change you if you are willing. You don't have to change yourself. You just have to be willing to lay it all on Jesus' shoulders. That's why He came to die for us, so that you could come to Him in love. And you know, love for Jesus Christ will take care of everything in your life. You know, Jesus Christ asserts that a true believer is a disciple who, by constant learning and devotion, loses himself for the sake of his glorious Savior. I just want to stress that the joy of any believer, anybody, no matter how well you know the Bible, no matter how smart or how rich or how healthy you are, the joy of the believer is proportionate to his obedience to Christ.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.